our history as women, and specifically our political history, and how hard we have had to fight to get the vote, as well as many other political equalities, is something that has really been buried and not appreciated in our history. And there are many lessons to be learned from that. I think we are playing catch up right now with what people like you and hopefully me and other women's historians are trying to do in re-looking at our history and asking, first of all, why is it that we don't know about the rich legacy of our women's suffrage history, but what are we going to do to rectify that now in enhancing our school curriculums or promoting the themes of women's rights and suffrage in museums and historical societies and the like. So I think we do have a lot of different directions that we can go in that endeavor. The first lesson, however, that we should remember as we look at women's suffrage history is that it perhaps was overlooked historically because we have often lived in what we could call a male-centric world. We've had a look at history through the eyes of men who were primarily the orators, the writers, the deliverers of how we needed to look at history. And as that has been handed down through our textbooks and some of our original source documents that we historians work with, we've tended to see a very male-dominated view of history. And ancillary to that, a lot of the avenues for which women could have had access to be part of that dialogue of history have been closed off to women historically. And I think now that we are catching up, certainly by the beginning of the 20th century and on into the 21st century, we've had women like yourself and others who have really been committed to telling the stories about women's history, including women's suffrage, that have never been told before. And we have access to all different types of media today as women that we didn't back in the 17th, 18th, 19th century. So we are, in a way, able to kind of catch up with that. And I think similarly, we have recognized throughout the latter part of the 20th century that there is a black experience in America, for example. And I think now, as a result of understanding that the experience of black people living in America is different than white people, we are also catching up to realize that the experience of women living in America is a different experience than the male-centered perspective that many of us have grown up with. So I think we are really trying to catch up with that. And certainly that's why I wrote my book, Strength Without Compromise, Womanly Influence and Political Identity in Turn of the 20th Century New York, because of exactly the problem that we have not known of our women's suffrage history in the way that I feel that we should have. So for me, someone who has long been very passionate about that history here in the local area of upstate New York where I grew up, it has always been a passion for me to learn about that and to share that story. And so the purpose of my book really was to fill the void that has existed with regard to women's suffrage history and to talk about some very extraordinary women who lived among us here at the turn of the 20th century who did something extremely extraordinary. And as my title suggests, they had strength without compromise. They fought for the right to vote and political equality, and they did so without compromising the very essential elements of their gender as women and as wives and mothers as well.